You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Lord, open our lips. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. Come, let us adore him. Let's recite in unison the Jubilate on page 4. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. Psalm 17, let's read responsively at the asterisk. Hear my plea of innocence, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Weigh my heart, summon me by night. Delve me down, you will find no impurity. I give no offense with my mouth as others do.
I have healed the words of your lips.
My footsteps hold fast to the ways of your law.
In your
paths I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Show me your marvelous loving kindness.
O Savior,
keep me as the apple of your eye.
Thank you.
First reading is from the book of Job, chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. Whatever the circumstances, and Job has surely suffered deep distress, may we too trust in the Lord, knowing that it is God who is the author of salvation, even of our salvation. Will you never get enough of my flesh? Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord. Let's read responsively the Song of Zechariah on page 5. We'll read responsively at the asterisk. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel.
He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior.
Born in the house of his servant David.
Through this holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies. He promised to show mercy to our fathers. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Free to worship him without fear. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. To give his people knowledge of salvation. In the tender compassion of our God, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second lesson is from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, into chapter 3, verse 5. There are so many excuses for becoming anxious and complicating the simple work of following Jesus. May we continue to keep our hearts and eyes focused on the truth of God rather than the distractions of the evil one. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is the word of the Lord. The Song of the Redeemed on page 6. Let's read in unison. O ruler of the universe, Lord God, give deeds that are great, surpassing human understanding. Your ways are ways of righteousness and truth, O God of all ages. Who can fail to do you homage, Lord, and sing the praises of your name? For you only are the Holy One. All nations will draw near and fall down before you, because your just and holy works have been revealed. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The gospel this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. As an editorial comment, when I looked at the lectionary for today, I chose not to have the message be from this. So, here's what Luke says. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the 7 died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the 7 were married to her? Jesus replied, The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of all the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. This is the word of the Lord. Let's recite in unison Canticle 21, You are God. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of the prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the holy church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became men to set us free, you did not shun the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Let's open in prayer. Lord God, we pray that your words will be heard, your words will be internalized, your words will be applied at this time. Lord, hear us when we pray. Open our hearts and minds and ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've entitled this from the one of the verses in Thessalonians, through belief in the truth. Through belief in the truth. As I prayed over the lectionary readings for today that we've heard, seeking inspiration in the Holy Spirit's direction for what today's message might be, for some unknown reasons, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 really struck me. You want to follow along in your pew Bible, it's on page 1250. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. There are two statements here worth contemplating. One is God chose us, and the other, we are to believe in truth. During Paul's travels in Thessalonica, an important city in northern Greece, recent converts from paganism were young and untaught Christians. Paul was there only for a short time, perhaps even just 3 weeks, before he had to abruptly leave because some of the Jewish authorities accused him of treason against Caesar. So Paul sent Timothy to mentor and encourage these young, untaught Christians. But even during this time, Timothy was relatively young in his own faith. So think of any group of new believers with only 3 weeks of teaching and preaching about the good news of Jesus. What do they believe? What books are available to them as references? Who teaches them? Who do they trust for guidance and wisdom? Life in Thessalonica in AD 51 was not too far afield from life in Cleveland in AD 2019. In today's culture, we hear it said that all truth is relative. Or we hear, my truth is my truth, and your truth is your truth. Or, I believe what I believe, so don't confuse me with facts. No one has made a proposition true by believing it or repeating it. Let me repeat that. No one has made a proposition true by believing it or repeating it. No political leaders or sports celebrities or church leaders can remake truth by stating their own beliefs over and over and over again, trying to convince the masses that what they say is true is actually truth. Human desire and will are set on reshaping reality, and therefore truth is to suit itself. There's a fundamental conflict between human desire and will versus truth. Pastor John MacArthur writes, "Ask anyone today what is truth, and you're sure to start an interesting conversation. Try it on a university campus, and you're likely to receive laughter, scorn, and derision. Or try it amongst family members over the Thanksgiving meal who hold differing political views. The concept of truth has clearly fallen on hard times, and the consequences of rejecting it are ravaging human society. To some, truth is subjective, the individual world of preference and opinion. Others believe truth is a collective judgment, the product of cultural consensus. And still others flatly deny the concept of truth altogether." So what is truth? Here's MacArthur's simple definition drawn from what the Bible teaches. "Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God." Let me repeat that. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. God is truth. God expresses truth. Truth flows from God. God is the author, source, determiner, governor, arbiter, ultimate standard, and final judge of what is truth. So what guidance do we get from Thessalonians verses 13 to 15 that is applicable to our lives in 2019? To believe in the truth, it seems to me we must know it, we must understand it as our own reality, and we then must apply it. So how do we know it? Now, this one is simple. Since God is truth, since truth flows from God, since He is the source, determiner, and ultimate standard, it is logical we need to know what God's Word says. MacArthur goes on to state, "The only infallible interpreter of what we see in nature or know innately in our own consciousness is the explicit revelation of Scripture. Since Scripture is also the one place where we are given the way of salvation, entrance into the kingdom of God, and an infallible account of Christ, the Bible is the touchstone to which all truth claims should be brought and by which all other truth must be finally measured. There is just no substitute for reading Holy Scripture daily. How else can we know truth?" Secondly, how do we understand truth to be our own reality? Perhaps you are assisted in your Bible studies by using Forward Day by Day, or Moody's Today in the Word, or Josh McDowell's Daily Devotions, or resources from Christianity.com, or Charles Stanley's In Touch Ministries, or Crosswalk.com. Perhaps you use the Book of Common Prayer's Daily Office Lectionary, or Read the Bible in 1 Year guides. Resources available to us today are boundless, especially when we consider what the Thessalonians had after 3 weeks' worth of teaching. All they had was the word passed down and a letter or two from Paul. But reading other people's ideas doesn't naturally make them our own ideas. And our working it out may not be the Lord's way of making it our own. Another way is to let Him reveal truth to our hearts as He opens Scriptures to us. Here's a passage about the disciples on the Emmaus Road. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us?" Invite God through the Holy Spirit, who is within us, to reveal insights from Scripture to our hearts. Consider these verses from Ephesians. "I always pray to the great and glorious God
the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that he will give you the Spirit who will let you know truths about God and help you understand them so that you will know him better. I pray that God will open your minds to see his truth. Then you will know the hope that he has chosen us to have. You will know that the blessings God has promised his holy people are rich and glorious. If we invite the Holy Spirit into the process, it is called meditation, a word which shows up about 60 times in the Bible and is translated in various ways. Meditation means to study the Bible in the presence of God, asking for revelation from the Holy Spirit so that God gets to speak afresh to our heart every time we open the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit guiding our hearts and minds, we're trying to understand based on our own strength, and that never works. And thirdly, how do we apply truth? The following list is from InterVarsity and contains some steps for applying biblical truths in our daily lives. Their first suggestion is, prepare your heart and mind to respond faithfully to the interpretation of a biblical text by praying for guidance from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, meditate on the interpretation of the context of your particular life situations. Use the Google Map method. Zoom in and zoom out on the contexts of your life. Zoom into your immediate circumstances and ask, how does the interpretation call me to behave within my family, neighborhood, and local community contexts? Then zoom out to the farthest distance and ask, how does the interpretation call me to behave within my institutional, national, and global contexts? Another suggestion, compose a simple statement that describes a practical application, such as, help my spouse with homework, or pray for children in Uganda. Write down that statement or store it in your phone where you may refer to it during times of daily prayer. Another suggestion, ask God to enable you to remember and practice your practical application. Finally, be patient with the process of application. Though application in the fullest sense can sometimes happen immediately by way of God's miraculous healing, for most of us, God uses the daily events of life to gradually grow us in his character. As we apply biblical truths in our lives, we discover that God creates in us the character of Christ and a desire to help change the world. The Phillips translation of 2 Timothy 2:15 gives us some further guidance. For yourself, concentrate on winning God's approval, on being a workman with nothing to be ashamed of, and who knows how to use the word of truth to the best advantage. And back to Thessalonians. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. The hope-filled prospect of future salvation and current sanctification from verse 14 would be accomplished as the Thessalonians heeded Paul's admonition to stand firm. Paul also included a word as to the means to accomplish that. They were to hold on to the teachings of the truth about Jesus Christ. Use the word of truth in the best advantage and stand firm and hold to the teachings. How each person responds to the truth that God has revealed is an issue of eternal significance. To reject and rebel against the truth of God results in darkness, folly, sin, judgment, and the never-ending wrath of God. To accept and submit to the truth of God is to see clearly, to know with certainty, and to find life everlasting. Let's close with this prayer from God's word in Thessalonians. May our Lord Jesus Christ, himself, and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts, and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. Let's stand and greet one another. The peace of the Lord be with you.
We will now read the Advent Episcopal Church Veterans Roll Call. Please stand as you are able, as your name or family member's name is read. Then please sit as the next name is called. We will now read the roll call. Ray Augustine Army.
Ray Augustine Jr. Marines.
Norm Bauer, Army.
Louis Bissoni, Army Air Corps.
Mike Bissoni, Army.
Ray Bissoni, Army.
Bill Campbell, Army.
Constantine Cratchaw, Navy.
Michael Duenas, Coast Guard.
Scott Duenas, Navy.
Terry Duenas, Navy.
Jeff Edwards, Army.
Gerald Edwards, Air Force.
Jim Edwards, Army.
Debbie Evans, Army.
Frederick Evans, Army.
Frederick Sonny Evans, Army.
Alan Finch, Marines.
Bruce Finch, Army.
David Finch, Air Force.
Ernie Finch, Army Air Force.
Max Gage, Army.
Xander Garakis, Army.
John R. Geyer, Air Force.
Christopher Green, Marines.
Gary Graham, Marines.
Ron Haberly, Army.
Nick Hobson, Marines.
William J. Geller, Senior, Army.
Arthur Kelly, Navy.
Ed Quasney, Navy.
Patrick Luciola, Navy.
Lee Meadowcraft, Army.
Chuck Miriam, Air Force.
Don Moore, Jr., Army Air Force.
Jerry Nagy, Army.
Thomas Reed, Army Air Corps.
Kelly Rice, Army.
Joshua Smith, Marines.
Roy Smith, Army.
Alex Tibbs, Air Force.
John Urbis, Army.
Stuart J. Wells, Royal Canadian Army.
Chester Robleski, Army.
At this time, if there are any other veterans present or immediate family members not read from the roll call, please stand now, give your name and branch of service, and I will call upon you. Start with Mendy. Thank you. Jerry.
Charles A., Army. John Elastic, Army. Charles Nagy, Merchant Marine, Navy.
Thank you. Bill.
Robert Arthur, Army. Bill Arthur, Navy. Fred Wood, Army.
Thank you. Joan. Miriam's.
Jim Frank, Senior, Army Air Corps. David Frank, Marine. And Greg Steele, Army.
Thank you.
And Alex, Army.
Thank you. We now ask that all veterans present to stand once more to be recognized. All veterans, please stand. Dick, would you lead a prayer? Veterans, please remain standing as as Dick McCormick leads us in a prayer.
Father God, you are all powerful. You are all knowing. You have strength beyond anything that we can comprehend. Lord God, we thank you for giving us these men and women who have served our country, in some places, in some cases, sacrificed their lives to serve in the call of duty that they accepted. Lord, we praise you and thank you for their service, for their valor, and Lord, we thank you for the families who have supported them and continue to support them. And Lord, we pray also for those who have come home scarred from the ravages of war. We pray for healing. We pray for strength. We pray for endurance for them. Lord, thank you for this service of memory. Thank you for the people who pulled it together. Thank you for all who served. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This concludes the 2019 Advent Episcopal Church Veterans Roll Call. Thank you all for your service, and God bless you.
Let me just add an additional word of thanks to Bruce and Max for pulling together this program. I think Advent is special in that we honor those who have served our country, remember their service, remember their sacrifice, and so we thank you for this time of remembrance, and we thank you for the veterans' observance that we all will celebrate and memorialize tomorrow. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Bruce. Now we collect the offering. And let me also say that, as it's written in the bulletin, we're taking up and asking for a free will offering today for the Fisher House that provides a special place of respite and care for family members and others who are supporting service people who are hospitalized and undergoing surgery and undergoing repair of their mind, body, and spirit. So please consider giving generously to the Fisher House. Thank you. And I just realized I'm a little out of sequence here. So, Max, if you want to just hold for a little bit, I'll get myself back in sync. So a few announcements. Men's Night Out is coming up a week from tomorrow night at the Moosehead Hoof and Ladder. Its details are in the bulletin, so please make note of that. Also, you received a stewardship letter from me, hopefully, in the last week or two. We're asking that your pledge for 2020 be turned in to us by a week from tomorrow. We're in the process of starting the budgeting process for next year, and so we very much ask that you prayerfully consider what the Lord is calling you to contribute to not only Advent, but to other causes that you
are called to a support. There are clipboards. Clipboards for Mexican dinner coming up on November 30th, Saturday, November 30th. Again, it's a freebie. Everyone is welcome. This will give you an opportunity to have a day or two off from Thanksgiving before you come and enjoy some Mexican food. I've had several people ask about Paul's status, and from everything that I know, Paul will be back with us next Sunday. He was here Tuesday with Finn doing some prep work for the Praise Community gathering on Wednesday night. He's still recovering use of his right hand and arm. So apparently during the EMS movement from the restaurant in Millersburg to the Millersburg Hospital, there was some dislocation or some damage done to the nerves in his left shoulder, and it somehow has caused partial inability to use his right hand and arm. But I think that's getting better, and so Paul is on the mend. Ray saw him here Tuesday, and I think he was in good spirits. And I think as far as the stint surgery, that came through quite fine. He reported to me, and I think he reported in one of his letters that they chose not to give him a complete anesthetic. They gave him fentanyl as a means of, yikes is right, deadening some of the pain. And Paul reports that for two or three or four days afterwards, he was still having hallucinations. So he told me he can't understand how anybody could get hooked on fentanyl based on his experiences. But finally, I'd like to report, yesterday was diocesan convention. We met in Sandusky, one-day affair. Denise Geyer-Keller and I were Advent's delegates to the convention. It was a relatively benign day. The usual course of electing delegates and electing people for various offices in the diocese, and some resolutions, for the most part, not having much bearing, honestly. But for me, the highlight of the session was Bishop Hollingsworth's Episcopal Address. And he started out by saying that, look, I'm going to talk about a topic that is going to alienate some people and irritate others, but I feel it's necessary for me to speak to it, and that is politics. And he went on to then give, I thought, a very measured, even-handed, thoughtful, humble explanation of why we need to be as believers, as Christians, much more civil in our interaction with one another. He said, you know, as I travel across the diocese, I'm overwhelmed at how many people are despondent with the state of our discourse in society. And I'm concerned, and I hear lots of concerns about the state of discourse in our church. He said, I just want to encourage people to seek to find common ground, to listen to one another, to respect one another, and to hear what one another has to say. And I spoke with Bishop Hollingsworth afterwards. I commended him for his message. I commended him for having the guts to speak to it. I think he did so with grace and humility, and as I say, even-handedness. As is often the case, there is a tabletop discussion, the table discussion after the Episcopal address, where we all sit at tables, 6, 8, 10 people at a table. So he asked us to have some table discussion for 20, 25 minutes on how we might apply some of the guidance that he gave in his address. And again, by chance, quote unquote, Denise and I were at a table with the new dean of the cathedral, the very Reverend B.J. Owens, and his priest associate, and two other parishioners from Trinity. And also at our table was the interim pastor who had served at Trinity before BJ was called. And so we had some interesting conversations with different theological perspectives represented. I started out, you know, after we turned around and were ready to start the conversation, there's this pregnant pause as everybody waits for somebody to say the first thing. And so I decided to speak up and basically expressed to our table my commendations for Bishop Hollingsworth's message. I went on to say that Advent theologically is in a different place from Bishop Hollingsworth. I said I highly respect him, and we get along very well. Collegiality is good and strong. I went on to talk about us being a depot church with another bishop, Bishop Love, in Diocese of Albany. I think I said it, Denise can challenge this, but I think I said it in a way that was winsome and graceful, and more as a matter of explanation, because I didn't know what those people around our table might know about Advent. But I feel like we had an opportunity to witness to our beliefs. They were respected and listened to, and the discussion, I think, was helpful. So for me, the highlight of the convention was the bishop's address and his message encouraging each of us to listen to one another, to find common ground, and to try to work together in a sense of dignity and respect on those issues which divide us. Because, as he said, there are many issues that unite us as believers, and so the challenge is for us to be Christ-like in our behavior. So I thought it was a very good message from the bishop. Now I get us back on track. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed on page 8. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world. Lord, keep this nation under your care. Let your way be known upon earth. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten. Create in us clean hearts, O God. Now, let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor unto the Lord. We continue with the readings on page 10. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, the King eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join together in this prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen. And let's continue together with the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you, and you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, love one another, and do good, and live the truth.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.